Number of years ago, I found myself on a road, two-lane highway headed into Kyiv, Ukraine. And I can remember like yesterday because on that particular ride, it was evident that traffic was going to be bad. And cars were stacked up for miles. And so we'd progress a little bit and then we'd stop again. We'd progress, go a little bit and then we'd stop again. And finally it dawned on me that we weren't going to get anywhere very quick. But the traffic kept moving a little bit. And then I noticed something. I started looking off to my right, and cars were driving down into the ravine. And then another car would drive down. And then another car. And I started looking, and then I was thinking, what are they doing? And then finally, I looked further out, and I could see that they were driving their cars down in that ditch because they knew that there was traffic there regularly. And so someone had braved at one point to get out there and create a pathway in the middle of that ravine. Well, my first thought was, when do they get back on the highway? Because they were down, you know how deep a ravine is, down on the side of the highway. They were way down there, and all those cars were just buzzing down through there. But you know what was happening? They didn't want to stop. They wanted to keep moving. You know, in life, if we're not careful, circumstances, situations, people will stop us. You ever been behind somebody that's driving real slow? And you can't get around them. And all of a sudden something comes over you and you become aware that your spirit is not very excited about what's happening at that moment. And your first temptation is to honk your horn and say, get moving. Your next temptation is to use sign language to communicate even more effectively. Get going, get out of here. But the truth is they're moving at a different pace than you are. And the reality is they're probably going as fast as they can. And you see, what happens is sometimes their pace is not like yours and mine. And we want to move at our pace. But what you discover in life is that God intends for us to move, put our faith into action. And today we begin this series of looking at what happens when a man understands that God has a plan for his life that extends beyond anything he could ever imagine. To go and to share and to tell and to make a difference and to move at a certain pace. And in the middle of that, there's relational conflict. There's all kinds of challenges. And all of it moves Paul to become effective. Because see, in life, here's what you're going to discover. For every moment of direction, there's a moment of distraction. For every moment where you're going somewhere, there's somebody saying you can't get there. And as a result, we end up, if we're not careful, in a struggle to really find the direction God has for us, because we allow the distraction to define us. And what I want you to see today as we get ready to dig into this message is I want you to see that God intends for us to move, not just to stand still and look around, but to move and put our faith into action. And I want you to think about your own faith. I want you to ask yourself some really challenging questions as we look at this passage. In fact, today I want us to start in introducing this series in the book of James. So if you have your Bible, open to that text. If you don't, just listen and follow along as I read out of this text. So to give you an idea of this particular letter in the New Testament, it's a story of James telling that you got to be a doer. You can't just be a hearer. And what I want you to do is I want you to see today that if we're to be who God intends for us to be, we have to be effectual doers. We got to make it happen. We got to make sure we move forward with our lives. And in James chapter 1, beginning in verse 22, what he does is he contrasts the difference between somebody who just hears something and somebody who acts on something. All right? So I want you to look at this. And what I want to do is I want to teach you what the original language was saying so that you'll get a feel of how critical these words are for you and I moving forward and putting our faith into action, okay? And what you're going to discover is that the basis of everything that Paul accomplished post his first missionary journey began with a conflict, but he became an effectual doer as a result of going through that conflict. Let's begin reading, if we could, in verse 22 of James chapter 1. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. Here's James, and here's what he really says. It's one thing to hear it. It's another thing to do it. And what I want you to do is I want you to see how James crafts this in the original language so that you won't miss this. Because you'll notice he begins by saying, but prove yourselves. And when you look at that language in the original Greek, you discover it says, keep on striving. Keep on going at it no matter what. Keep moving forward. No matter what it is that deters you. Perhaps this week you probably even saw in the news where they talked about if someone exercises too much, that it's bad for them. Do you realize how many conflicting stories you hear about what you can eat, what you can't eat, what you can do, what you can't do? And here's what you discover. There's always going to be research going on, different things like that. But when it comes to taking God's word and letting it become a part of your life, you never get too much of it. Because it's always there to change you. So he says here, keep on striving. In other words, keep on moving forward. But then notice what he says here. Which not only does you be a doer of the word, which by the way, the doer here, what he's saying is, everything about you's in it. Okay? So let me give you an example. Have you ever read a passage of scripture that you read it but you didn't own it? In other words, you read it and say, you know, that really sounds good, but I'm not going there. Like that verse that says, pray without ceasing. I don't want to live there because I pray too much. You know, those verses that kind of be the instant in season, out of season. Ooh, I don't want to sure I want to live there. It means I got to always be ready. Any of you ever have a lazy Saturday when you're not ready for anything? We have those, don't we? But what you discover, he says, be a doer. Put your whole self into it. And not only that, though, notice he says, but be careful not to be merely a hearer. And here's what that word means when you look at it. In the original language, it means to be a passive listener. All right? So think about this for a second. Here's all of a sudden, here's what James is saying. As you live your life, put your whole heart into it, absolutely everything into it, or you'll end up being passive. You'll not be able to accomplish what it is that he intended. And here's what you discover. You immediately say to yourself, well, I'm never a passive listener when it comes to the Bible. Oh, really? I've got a feeling we all get passive at times, don't we? We hear something, we read something, but we don't apply it. We don't let it move us forward like we need to. And here's what he's trying to say. You got to be careful not to live that way, because notice how he says it. These people who are only hearers, they delude themselves. When you look at the word, and you know what the word delusion is all about in our culture, but when you look at the word delude in the book of James, it has to do with us intentionally deceiving ourselves. In other words, just saying, you know what, that doesn't really apply. Have you ever had anybody say to you that they're going through a challenge and you quote a verse out of the Old Testament and say, well, this is not the Old Testament era. We don't use the Old Testament. We're in the New Testament era of grace. Well, the only challenge of that is, the last time I checked, this is all God's word. So it has application. Which, by the way, it's interesting to me. Someone will say to me, well, this is you're the New Testament heir, but when their loved one passes away, they want me to read Psalm 23. Now, why would you want me to read Psalm 23 if you're not into the Old Testament? And what you discover very quickly is that someone wants to have a passive approach, because you realize what the Old Testament does is the Old Testament tries to set down some criteria for holiness, because the people always were chasing after something that was unholy. But he said, don't delude yourself. And notice, he goes on and says, I want you to just see a couple other things. Because he looks in the mirror at himself, and when he goes away, he forgets what he's looked at, who he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man and this woman will be blessed in what he does. Now, I want you to look at that. I want you to show you one other thing, because I want you to see how important it is today that we move in a direction that God has for our life. Because if we're not careful, we'll miss that. And I'll show you how Paul and Barnabas both could have missed it because they got into a conflict, okay? So, but here's when you look at the word, look intently. It has the idea of squatting down so that you can see carefully what it is on a particular shelf. Have any of y'all ever been to the grocery store and what you need is on that bottom shelf? And what do you have to do? You have to get down and you look carefully to make sure you're getting the right thing, okay? I have a little grandbaby in my life, and on Friday, she was over at our house. And you know what I did? I found myself all day doing, getting down on her level, because I wanted to see what she's up to. Plus, she smiles bigger if you get her down right there where you're looking at her real close. And so I wanted to see her smile. And here's what you discover about what James says. When a person is willing to get down and squint and squat down, and maybe you're like me, squat is not my favorite thing anymore. You know, at my age, I don't like to get down too many times. I try to do it 3 times a day max. But, you know, when it comes to the Bible, you got to get down. Y'all can laugh, okay? I'm trying to help you realize that it's harder to squat down when you're 54. But when you look at the Bible, here's what he said. The effectual doer will get down looking real close. Now, let me give you an example. Take that and apply it like your prayer life. When is your most effectual prayer? It's not when you're saying, "Oh, Lord, here I am. Bless me." You know when your most effective prayer is? Is when you all of a sudden say, "Lord, help me. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know which way to turn. I don't know the answer. I've got a challenge." And I got a feeling that when Paul and Barnabas got to the place that we're going to look at today, they had a challenge that they had to get down and squat down and look. So what I want you to see today is that we need to be doers of the word and not just hearers. We don't need to be passive people. We need to instead be focused people who are taking God's word and letting it change our lives. Because here's what we discover. There's only one thing that doesn't come back void. It's God's word. It lives inside of us forever. And when we read it, it grabs hold of us and moves us forward in an amazing way. So let's think about this for a second. Now turn back to the book of Acts, okay? You got the introduction to what it means to be putting your faith into action. Now, turn back to the book of Acts and turn to the 15th chapter. Remember, our message today is about things that distract us and things that direct us. And if you imagine for a second, we all have distractions. But we also all have the opportunity for direction. And so what I want you to see today is I want to ask you a couple questions, because this will set in motion your understanding of this particular text. Because this is the beginning, listen, this is the beginning of one of the most effective seasons of all of Paul's life. It's in this particular season of life that he goes to Philippi, Ephesus, Athens, Corinth, Thessalonica. This journey takes him to all these places. And I want you to imagine what your New Testament would be like if you didn't have Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. You didn't have Philippians 1:6, "I'm confident of this very thing, and he who began this good work and you will complete it." You didn't have Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved." That not of yourself. Not of yourself, it's the gift of God. You didn't have Thessalonians, where all of a sudden that church at Thessalonica, the words are recorded by Paul, "What joy could we render on behalf of you because of your faith in God?" You didn't have any of that. You didn't have Corinthians, where it says that, "Thanks be to God who always leads us to triumph in Christ." So this journey was really important. It was not just a trip to go hang out. It was to accomplish a purpose, and which helps you understand why there was a challenge and a conflict there. So I want to ask you two questions, because here's what you're going to discover. It's in this text, and I'm so glad that Luke records this. It's in this text that two people who love each other have a big conflict, and they have to work through it. All right, so I want you to think about in your own life, and I want you to ask you two questions that really cause you to zero in on who you are, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to break this text down and help you see how you're supposed to move beyond it and move through it and move to it and understand how he wants you to live in it. And what you discover is the first question I want to ask you is, can you think about in your own life your greatest relational conflict? Do you recall that moment where you had a conflict that was so great you didn't know which way to get past it? You didn't know how to move through it? It's interesting. This past, a couple weeks ago, I was with my mom, and we were talking about my father. My father was a alcoholic, and I didn't realize this until 2 weeks ago, that my dad would go into the hills of Arkansas and buy moonshine. I thought moonshine days were gone by the time he was doing it, but it wasn't. And so my mom was telling me this story. And my mother was telling me that one time they were driving down near where I was born, and my dad had a wreck. It was a terrible wreck, and it threw my mom, my brother, my sister out of the car. They were in the ditch 100 yards away or so. And my mother's 83 now. She was telling the story. She said, you know, you don't realize that in a moment you learn everything about what is really the priority of somebody you live your life with. I'm bleeding. Your brother and your sister are in the ditch. And your dad goes to the back of the car to throw away the moonshine so he doesn't get caught with it. And she was telling me this like it was yesterday. And let me tell you what it caused me to think about as it relates to the day. When I read James chapter 3, a passive hearer is someone who takes God's word and throws it in the ditch, even though they know they should be effectual doers. And you know that picture, when my mother was telling that story, it grabbed hold of me because I thought, how many times do we throw in the ditch the things that could get us where we need to be? We chunk them over there. And that could have happened with Paul and Barnabas. They could have ended up just chunking their entire lives and never accomplishing what God intended. And I'm here to tell you today that no matter where you have been, God can take you from where you are and where you have been to places you never dreamed possible if you'll just move. If you just put your faith into action. But I want you to ask yourself another question. When it comes to that relational conflict you encountered was so big, did it get resolved or did you move beyond it? In other words, were you able to resolve it? Were you able to fix it? Were you able to converse through it? Or did the Lord clearly say to you, move on beyond it? Because I want you to see something. Paul could have been stuck at Antioch hanging out with Barnabas and never become who God intended for him to be. That one relationship that was so powerful. Because you realize the only reason Paul had the front door to ever get anything done in life was because Barnabas said, he's the real deal. And so you can imagine when this conflict occurs what transpires. And what I want you to see today, I just want you to see one principle as we look at this text. In life, conflict is inevitable. How you respond to it will define your impact of all of your life. Because in life, you are going to encounter people that are a challenge, that cause you to feel a certain way and to respond a certain way. And Paul could have easily ended up missing the best of life. And I want you to see something. If somebody gets in the way of what it is God has for you, you can't let that be the definition of your life. Let me give you an example. Just say you're sitting here and you were rejected by someone you truly loved. And you have pain connected to that. You have heartache connected to that. But you're at church today and all of a sudden you hear the pastor saying, you've got to move beyond it. Because listen, that momentary rejection is nothing like the powerful acceptance of a God who knows everything about you, everything you'll ever be, every step you'll ever take, every breath you'll ever breathe. That's the kind of God we serve. And so if we have those moments of rejection or pain or difficulty, what you hear me saying is there is a way to move through that. And I want you to see it today. And I want us to show you over the next, during the entire summer, I want to take you on a missionary journey in the first person. Because I want to look at it from your perspective. Today I want to look at what happens when you get distracted and when you get directed. Because God has a way of moving us beyond our distraction. And so today we begin reading in the 15th chapter book of Acts. And we're going to look at verse 36 all the way through chapter 16 verse 5. Okay? As we read it like it's your life story. And you're going through it. Notice if you would, verse 36. After some days Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord, and see how they are. Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along with them also. But Paul kept insisting they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there occurred such a sharp disagreement. We'll come back to those two words in a moment. that they separated from one another. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. And he was traveling through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Paul came also to Derbe and Lystra. And a disciple there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman, who was a believer. But his father was a Greek, and he was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted this man to go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those parts. For they all knew that his father was a Greek. And now while they were passing through the cities, they were delivering the decrees which had been decided upon by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem for them to observe. So the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number daily. Now, I want you to note the beginning and the end. Paul said, let's go back and see how people are. Let's just go check them out and make sure that they're still doing what they're supposed to do. And at the end of this verse 5, it says that they were strengthening the churches and things were happening. God was doing something amazing. And what you discover here is, in the middle between verse 36 of chapter 15 and verse 5 of chapter 16, there's this big, giant conflict. And it's all centered in what John Mark did on their other journey. Because what John Mark did was he pulled up stakes in the middle of the trip. He said, I don't want to do it your way. I'm going to do it my way. And he went home. All right? So I want to show you today, as you think about your own life, I want to show you three very distinctive things that give you a biblical basis to move forward in being effective relationally with the people God puts in your life. The first thing I want you to see is what transpires with Paul and Barnabas is how they process their past disappointments. All right? So the first thing I want you to see is the challenge of our past disappointment. Everyone here can probably identify some moments when they've been very disappointed. I mean, when you counted on somebody, they didn't come through. You were hoping they wouldn't get the answer. They didn't get there. Well, you can imagine, here's Paul and Barnabas, and they've had a season of time where things are really good. They've been to Jerusalem. They've talked about what's happening. They've given a good report. Everything's rolling really well. And then Paul says, man, let's go have another fun trip, man. Let's go out, and let's go make a difference again. And Barnabas' first thought was, I'm taking John Mark. He's got to get this lesson down. He's got to learn. You stay with it. Plus, he's a part of who I am. And what you discover is we're all wired differently. We're all wired differently. And I want to show you what Paul and Barnabas, their wiring was totally different. For Paul, he was a man who, when you look at him, he had one core concept that guided his whole life. No time for distractions. No time to let somebody say, oh, I don't feel good today. And Chester will tell you, when it comes to mission trips, stuff like that, I always say, we're not tourists. We're here to make a difference. And if somebody feels bad, get them to feeling better quick because life's too short. And I don't want to miss a moment, whether they're holding an orphan or something. I don't want to miss that moment. There are times that people wake up with headaches or something. You know what? You live beyond your headache and do what God's called you to do. That's what Paul did. Paul wasn't letting anything anyway. There was no time for distractions. Now, Barnabas was the contrast, wasn't he? Because when you look at Barnabas and you look at his life and his story, he had one core concept that was his whole life story. Every moment is made for encouragement. He just loved to encourage people. And if you'll think about it for a second, in every one of our lives, we have Pauls and we have Barnabases. We have some people that say, step it up and get there. Get moving. You probably are looking at one. The reality is, get it going. You were listening to church last Sunday. If you listened to the very end, you heard me say something. Don't get lazy in the summer, because that irritates your pastor. So keep moving forward. Keep moving. Don't get distracted. But then there's others of us that have Barnabas in our life. People just encourage us. How many of you have somebody just encourages your life? Let me see your hand. I mean, they just when they talk to you, they encourage you. They always have sweet things to say. They never get, they're not interested in the bottom line. They just know how to say, you know what? You're so special. You're one of a kind, made by God just to bless me. What do you find yourself doing? You try to get around those people all you can. Because, man, they're making you feel like you're something. Then you get around to Paul. And what do the Pauls in your life say? Why are you still stuck where you're at? How come you let that conflict get you where you are? What happened to you? And you can hear Paul. I mean, here's Paul's, I mean, think about Philippians. Forgetting the things which are behind, I press towards the mark of the high calling in Christ. Here's what Paul was saying. Don't come up with me with all these excuses about what you can't get done because of what you lived through. He was saying, you forget all that and you move forward. But here's Barnabas, the other side. Barnabas is saying, John Mark's such a sweet man. I mean, everybody deserves a second chance. Let's help him move through this. I mean, we don't want to discourage him. I mean, if we do that, I mean, what's going to happen to him? He may not ever go on another missionary trip. I mean, and I tell Chester, he knows that, you know what? Wimps don't go on mission trips. People who love Jesus go on mission trips because when we go on mission trips, we're going for a purpose better than ourselves, bigger than ourselves. And so here's Paul and Barnabas, and they're at this place where they're going, you know what? We got to connect if we're going to get anything done. And it's interesting because they don't, do they? Look, if you would, I want you to see something because the Bible says that there arose this sharp disagreement. Look at verse 39. And there occurred such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another. Now, I want you to see this because what we realize is there was only one resolution, and that was that they would move in different directions in order to be obedient to what God had for them. And if you go back to when Jesus was instructing in Matthew 10, the disciples, you don't have to look at the passage, I just want to give you a reference point. When Jesus was telling the disciples, okay, look here, here's what I need you to do. I need you to move in the right direction. And here's what he said. If you go into somebody's house and they don't greet you and they're not connected to what I'm about, don't spend 6 months being frustrated by the fact that they don't like you. Listen carefully. In your life, there will be people who don't like you. Accept it and say, well, praise God, somebody doesn't like me. And because what that's going to do for you is it's going to help you find somebody who does like you. I mean, you don't need to spend your whole life going, well, if Susie just liked me. Forget Susie. Move on to Jane. Find somebody who can encourage you. Because here's what's happening with Paul. Paul and Barnabas, here they are. They got this big assignment. And they both want to be obedient to God, don't they? They want to experience what God has for them. And listen carefully. Life is too short to miss what it is God has for you. And you know what? You're only one relationship, one person, one opinion away from experiencing and missing all that God intended. You ever had a friend take you in the wrong direction? That one moment. I was 16 years old. I can remember it like it was yesterday. I can remember a friend who said, let's go this way. How I thank God that I can still drive by that particular spot where I said to him, stop the car. I got to get out. After 10 years in Leavenworth, that man picked up the phone and called me one day. He said, you're the only one who said no. But I'm going to tell you what I knew. I knew one path would not get me where God wanted me to go. And I knew another path would take me places I never dreamed of. And I'm going to tell you what you discover about this passage. This is a place where Paul and Barnabas make a choice to stay obedient, but to absolutely disagree. And God uses both of them to accomplish what he intends to do. So I want you to see, what does God do then? Then all of a sudden, God brings somebody new into Paul's life. I mean, the question you ask is, would Timothy have ever been significant if John Mark had been on the team? In other words, if John Mark had, if Paul said, you know what, let him come with us because, man, I mean, we got a full team, we got everybody going, would Timothy have ever stood out? But what I want you to see is, when God closes one door, he always opens another. And here's what you see. The blessing of new relationships came on the heels of the most painful moment Barnabas and Paul ever experienced relationally. And if you're here today, here's what you can discover. Some of the things God has for you are going to come on the heels of your most painful, challenging moments in life. And what you do is, instead of letting that painful moment define you, Instead, you let that painful moment direct you to what it is God wants to do in your life. Because the reality is that if you live only allowing your defining moments to be the points of rejection, pain, heartache, and difficulty, what you'll do is you'll always look for an answer. You'll always look for a way to escape around it. And here's what I want you to see. Timothy comes into his world. In fact, when you look at it, I want to just show you two or three things about him, because I want you to see in verse 2, you find two words that say a multitude of things about someone. And he was well spoken of by the brethren. You know what he really did? He was an example of living with a good reputation. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. Timothy had no idea what God intended to do. And you don't either. I don't either. I have no idea all that what God intends to do. I picked up a photo I had printed from an event that was happening in another country that we're involved in on Friday and on Saturday. I looked at this photo. It's a picture of a little girl smiling. She's about 4 years old. I can remember the very first time I ever saw her. She had just been rescued from a cave where her parents had imprisoned her and her other sister and her brother. And I look at this photo, 2 years removed from that, and this girl has been set free because somebody took away those chains and all those bars and gave her a chance to live again. You see, when I look at that picture, I would have never dreamed in 1,000 years that you could put that little girl in my lap. But I'm going to tell you what you discover. When you start living with a good reputation, being who God made you to be. See, you don't have to be a superstar. You don't have to be somebody say, oh, look at so-and-so. Listen carefully. Those who go high, the air gets so thin, they can barely breathe, and that's why so many of them fall. You don't want to have to be a shooting star. Listen, that's not what you want to be. You don't want to be a shooting star. You want to be somebody who consistently conveys what God can do. And the Bible says he had a good reputation. And you know, at the end of your journey, one of the things you want people to say is they live by their word. People could see a reputation. But not only that, you'll notice that something transpired, because you'll notice that it says, verse 3, Paul wanted this man to go with him. Now, I want you to stop for a second. Now, what kind of man did we describe Paul to be? Focused, called, get it done, move forward. And the Bible says of Timothy that he was timid and shy, reserved, probably as contrasting to Paul as you can imagine. And what you discover is that when you look at what Paul was really looking for, he was looking for a choice that was a contrast. Do you want to be around everybody just like you? You don't, do you? You like being around somebody different. Somebody looks at things from a different perspective, a different insight. I got an email yesterday from a young lady who is a young mom in Romania. She wrote this whole story to me about what she was going through and what difficulties she was encountering and how she was trying to process something. And at the end of the thing, she said, my husband told me I should not write you because you would think wrong of this. Well, when I read it, I thought, I don't think wrong of this. This is somebody expressing what they're feeling. This girl's nothing like me. She doesn't think like I think. She's from a different persuasion and thought process. But what I discovered was, and I want you to see this, God puts people who are contrast in our lives not to create conflict, but to complement who we are. That's why we have in our lives people that are different. They think differently. They're relationally, they're connected to us differently. And Timothy was that way. But you got to look at it and you got to say, you know what? One thing is for certain. Not only was he a contrast, but he was willing to do whatever it would take. Now, how do we know that? Well, look at that next latter part of that verse. Paul says to him, you know what? You're going to have to be circumcised. We're going to have to do something so that no one will misunderstand your role, your responsibility. We're going to have to do something very decisive. And I want you to see this. It was a decisive act of commitment that opened the door for Timothy being one of the most effective, contrasting servants of the entire New Testament. And what I want you to see today is Sometimes you've got to act. You can't just think. You got to act. And what Paul said was, guess what? You got to go through this in order to open a bigger door. And by the way, it wasn't tied to a legalism that he was trying to convey here. He was trying to make sure the door would be as wide as possible to anyone they would encounter, because the Bible says that they knew, the Jews knew that his father was a Greek. And so here's what I want you to think about in your own life. What would it be like if you decisively acted on something? For example, let's say you had a relational conflict that today, not tomorrow, not yesterday, the day you said, Lord, I set that at your feet. I no longer choose to allow that to define me. That pain, I surrender to you. Your purpose, I yield to. I'm going to tell you what you discover. All of a sudden, you become a man or woman you never dreamed you could be because you decisively acted. Now, what's the opposite of that? The opposite is you stew on it for about 10, 15, 20 years, and you spend your whole life thinking, you know, that person really did me wrong. That person really messed me up. Listen carefully. Life is too short to not decisively act about any relational dynamic that could steal away who you are, what God wants you to do with your life. Don't let something get in the way of that. Because when you act the right way, then something amazing happens. Look what happens, because I want you to see the third thing as we wrap this together. Because all of a sudden, we get back to the very reason that we should go and the very reason we should be obedient. I mean, look if you would at verse 5 there. So the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in a number daily. You see, what's amazing about this is just a few moments before this, Paul went through probably, it had to be painful. Barnabas, it had to be painful. Because Barnabas couldn't encourage Paul to move forward with it. Those two words, sharp disagreement, have to do with an irreconcilable conflict. Not able to overcome. And so here all of a sudden, two things, the very reason they live. I mean, look at those. It says that they strengthen those people in the faith. You see, that's one of the reasons we live as a church, is to strengthen your faith. And if you're here and your faith has wavered, my encouragement is to help you strengthen your faith to become strong, to help you move forward. But not only that, you'll see that the Bible says that they continue to increase in number. Which, by the way, if you go back to Acts chapter 1 and you go all the way through it, do you realize the only time the church didn't move forward effectively when people were disobedient? Ananias and Sapphira, different moments. When people are obedient, God did something. And what I want you to see is, when you look at this, they went to strengthen believers and they went to watch the ministry grow. Not just by way numerically. They went to watch God's people move forward. And you're going to see in the weeks to come, you're going to see this story come alive in your heart. Because here's what I want you to walk away going, you know what? I am connected. I'm connected to God's big story in my life. And the only challenge you have is to ask yourself if you've had some relational conflict. In fact, I want to ask you a question as we bring this passage together. Have you allowed any relational conflict to get in the way of God's purpose for your life? In other words, have you let somebody who is mortal flesh get in the way of eternal God? Because what you're going to discover is, as you live your life, people will get in your way in a million different ways if you're not careful. But if you start living for Him, no matter what it is you've been through, He becomes the strength of your heart, and He becomes the joy of your life. And what I love about this passage is it starts on a daily basis. And when you look at it, I want you to think about your own life. Because on a daily basis, do you find yourself in more distraction or direction in your life? Because here's what you're going to discover. If your life tilts 80% towards distraction, what's going to happen? You're going to struggle ever being able to be able to discover what God has for you. But if your life tilts towards direction, then you're going to find so much more. So much more. I read a study. In fact, I meant to mention we were looking at the book of James, but I read a study. It's real interesting because they're doing studies trying to figure out why somebody can be connected but disconnected, to claim it but not live it. And one of the studies they're doing right now, and this research I was reading, was had to do with the Bible. And how the Bible instructs. And I just made a couple notes in the column of Bible because I wanted to make sure that we don't miss it. Because the majority of people that are surveyed acknowledge that the Bible is their life authority. It speaks to the issues of life. And yet this study found only 2 in 5 had ever read the entire Bible. So you think about it for a second. Wait a minute now. 40%, now I'm talking about the, spanning whatever lifetime they live. What about what happened if all of a sudden we got serious about it? And then the other thing was that they asked them, is the Bible relevant to your life? And people said, yes. I mean, in a dramatically affirming way, only half would ever pick it up, though, on a daily basis. Does that not make you think, you know, wait a minute now, I'm too distracted by something to pick this up? In fact, it's interesting, when you look at the study, the survey, it broke down how we live our lives, how many hours we sleep, how many hours we eat, went through all this thing. And you could tell real quickly what happens to us. We get distracted and we miss God's best. If you're here today and you're distracted by something, let God become the Lord of all. If you're here and you're struggling with pain and personal challenges, let the Lord be Lord of all. Let him be in charge. If you're here and you just need to move, get moving. Not move away, by the way. You stay right here. But to get moving. Discover what God has for you. I guarantee one thing, something amazing will happen. If you're here today and you've never given your heart to Christ, let me tell you what you discovered. I learned this as a young man. With Jesus, I can make it through anything. Without him, I struggle through everything. And he became the Lord of my life, and it changed my life forever. And that's why I preach this book in such a passionate way, because I believe it. I believe it can change anyone's life. So if you're here and you've never given your heart to Christ, I want to help you be able to discover what that means.